Zion going down didn't affect this game.
Who said that?
Many people said that, well, Duke didn't lose because Zion went down.
Nobody said that.
Many people said that. Oh, you shouldn't be worried about Zion going down. You still have two of the other top five picks in the draft. That take was out there many times. That take was out there a whole bunch saying, well, Zion wouldn't have made a difference in this game.
Well, that's a pretty bad take. I can't imagine a worse take. Roy Williams disagreed. You heard him after the game.
No, I didn't hear him after the game.
I heard him after the game, and he said it absolutely affected the game. He said, obviously, you know, it's unfortunate for them. Basically, Roy Williams said you'd be crazy if you didn't think that affected the game.
Yeah.
Of course it affected the game.
I mean, from an emotional standpoint, you lose your, you know, kind of your motor. And he's by far their best player, and he's their best defender. And 30-year-old Luke May capitalized on Zion going down, and Luke May was out there balling. 30 points, 15 rebounds. I don't know if he's able to do that if Zion, their best defender, is out there.
Now, I do think Duke suffered some from just shock factor. You know what I mean? Like, you give them 3 or 4 days to get a plan together, play that North Carolina game again. It's going to be closer. I don't know if Duke wins or not, but, I mean, last night, obviously, they were scrambling, and you kind of felt North Carolina would win that game.
Yeah, it was weird seeing, you know, once Zion did go down, Marcus Bolden, their big center, kind of turned into recent Kyle Alexander and was useless out there. 18 minutes, 0 points. 2 rebounds.
He missed his mate.
Yeah, I mean, with Zion not out there, people were able to kind of look at him more in the post, and he wasn't willing to do anything with the ball or able. Got a good look at R.J. Barrett. Got a good look at what Cam Reddish can do. Both those guys took advantage of Zion being out and got their shots up. R.J. Barrett played pretty good. He still didn't shoot well from three. 40 minutes, 33 points, 13 rebounds. So he showed a little bit to the NBA scouts that were there. Cam Reddish had some moments. They're both really smooth. I think they're both going to be really good at the next level. RJ kind of struggles from Duke not having enough shooting to kind of help him slash and kick type of thing. And Cam Reddish shows some really smooth plays that just look like NBA plays. But Trey Jones, a point guard, 1 of 11, that, you know, with Zion going out and Bolden being useless, those guys combining for 3 points, that's the story of the game. But I just thought it was pretty foolish for people to say that wasn't why Duke lost.
I'd say that had quite a bit to do with it.
You've already seen, hey, Tennessee got docked and had to fall five spots for losing at Kentucky. What are you going to do for Duke losing at home? I would imagine that Duke will not fall all the way to five. Maybe, though. We'll see. They got beat by 16. That will be interesting to see what plays out this weekend. Does Tennessee jump over Duke again if they win at LSU, who is coming off of a loss to Florida? We'll see. That's something to watch.
We'll see what Duke does on Saturday, too.
Who's Duke got Saturday?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I didn't know if they had a big game.
But I do know that things are going to be, you know, obviously things will change for them. They play Syracuse Saturday.
Will Jim Boeheim be out there?
I don't know. He's got to be a little rattled right now after what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you want about Roy Williams and Coach K. They never killed a guy on the interstate. It's been a big couple months for Jim Boeheim. You know, beat Duke, beat your pants, run over a guy on the interstate. I mean, that's a big couple months. Big month, anyway. I wonder what happened. Like, how do you run over a guy on the interstate? Maybe.
No, there were four people in a car. They were pulled over on the shoulder, and, like, one was out of the car, and Jim Boeheim hit him.
And he wasn't paying attention?
I don't know if he wasn't paying attention or couldn't see him. It was dark and icy, they said. Those were the driving conditions. Obviously, it's dark. It's, you know, 9:10, probably 10:30 once that game was over and the press stuff was done. But also icy because it's cold and it had been raining and sleeting everywhere in the country.
Had a big win over Louisville. I guess he was just at his zone.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sometimes it's hard to pay attention.
I had a friend get hit like that before in the shoulder of on the shoulder of the interstate. He was out getting something in the back of his truck. Car drilled him and knocked him up in the air. Luckily, he lived, but
yeah,
that's scary stuff. And that was during the middle of the day.
It's rough.
But I don't anticipate Jim Boeheim misses any time with this. he's not going to be in any legal trouble, I doubt. I mean, they're not. I'd be really shocked if Jim Boeheim was under the influence of anything. Or texting and driving. Like, I don't think anything that Jim Boeheim was doing was probably illegal. I'd be shocked if it turned out that way. But, yeah, you know, Duke's going to Syracuse. Probably the worst place for them to go in the ACC right now.
They might want to fly.
Stay off the roads.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what they say when Boeheim gets in his own? Better watch out. His peripheral vision's just not quite as good.
Do you feel good about yourself?
What do you mean?
Do you feel good about yourself making Jim Boeheim jokes? I mean, imagine you're the I don't like Jim Boeheim either. I hate Jim Boeheim.
He's a
but
jerk.
Imagine you're the family of the guy who just got killed. You got this guy on the radio down here making jokes.
I imagine the
family. Show some class.
I imagine the family's not listening to our show.
Probably not, but they might be. You never know.
I would expect nothing less.
We got ties to Syracuse.
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Andrew. Andrew.
Yeah, intern Andrew loves Syracuse.
God, it could have been Andrew. Has anybody checked on Andrew?
I haven't talked to Andrew today. Actually, intern Andrew was texting me Tuesday night.
And I've got family that's Louisville fans.
Yeah.
Former co-host Boomer is, you know, he went to Syracuse.
Could be
got
him.
Got ties to Syracuse.
Might want to check on Boomer and intern Andrew. Make sure they're all right.
I'll text intern Andrew. Who knows?
Wouldn't that be something?
Got to travel. You know, intern Andrew always traveled for games.
Yeah, always.
Surely he wouldn't be driving up there.
You said you had family that were Louisville fans, Ben?
Well, they live in Louisville.
Oh.
I don't know if they're Louisville fans. I assume they are if they live there.
It's going to be the discussion moving forward. Should Zion sit out? We'll talk about that next. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. See him back on the court. Zion Williamson, will he play again this season? Season's not got that much left in it. We're what? February 21st? The end of Tennessee's regular season's March 9th, correct? Against Auburn? One, two weeks away? Conference tournament 3 weeks away, and then the tournament. I mean, if you make a run to the Final Four, that's April 6th, April 8th.
We only have, what, 5 more games? At LSU, at Ole Miss, Kentucky,
Mississippi State,
at Auburn.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's not much time that he would be packing it in. And, you know, if there's maybe this knee sprain's going to be bad enough where it makes an easy decision. But, man, like, if I'm Zion, it's always weird with these one-and-dones, right? And that's the problem with these one-and-dones is that you assume that they are probably judging this differently than someone who's been there 3 or 4 years, right? And what I mean by that is if you've been there for 3 or 4 years and you've sweat with the program and you've grown with the program, like Grant Williams probably feels, hey, Tennessee's kind of my team, my program. We can dictate what we get remembered for. We can dictate where we rise in terms of basketball programs. If I'm Zion Williamson, you know, grew up in South Carolina. Duke's cool. Wasn't like he said he grew up always wanting to go to Duke. He's just, I don't want to call him a hired mercenary, but he's a one-and-done guy who's just been there for, you know, 6 months at this point. If I'm him, I don't feel indebted to the school or the fan base, and I don't know if I've grown up wanting to win a college basketball championship. Like, I don't know how many people grow up wanting that if you're a big-time prospect. Like, in high school when Zion Williamson is dunking on everyone, do you think he's thinking, man, I want to be an NCAA champion, I want to play in the Final Four? Or do you think he's thinking, hey, I can't wait to get to the NBA, make a whole bunch of money, and win an NBA championship?
I don't know. Do we think he has any kind of bond with his team now?
I would say that they've all year wanted to do something special as a freshman class. I would say they see the comparisons to Michigan's Fab Five, and they want to actually go and win a championship.
I do think he's the difference in them winning a championship or not winning a championship.
Yeah. He might be the difference between them getting to the Final Four or not.
Right.
Like I don't know if they make the Final Four without Zion.
But we can all agree with him on the court, healthy, full strength, they're the favorite.
For sure.
They are the favorite to win the title.
Before last night, I believe they were like plus 150, which means they were basically just a little bit better, a little bit worse off than even money.
Without him, it's a big, I mean, it's a crapshoot. You know, we don't know what's going to happen.
Without them, without Zion, they at very best, realistically, go back to the pack of the other four teams that think they can win championships. You know how everyone's like hanging around 8-1?
Right.
10-1? Duke should go back there.
And remember, they don't have much depth either.
No, they're done if Zion's out. If Zion doesn't play, they're not winning the championship. Like I said, I don't think they win the ACC championship. I don't think they make the Final Four.
So I would think that's on his mind too.
Is it?
I think so. I mean, you don't just – I know the money's important and the NBA is important and your future – you got to look out for number one. I get all that. But these guys grow up as part of this team mindset too, you know?
I don't know. Are kids growing up with a team mindset in 2019?
I don't know. Look, if Zion sits out the rest of the year, I won't blame him. I think I'd do the same thing.
I didn't see any of Zion's high school teammates in there with him when he was doing all those dunks and getting a million Instagram followers. Where was the team at there? Did he put any of his boys on? Did he get somebody at least some DMs or something? Like, was he – because every dunk video I saw was just Zion Williamson dunking. I didn't see his point guard throwing him alley-oops or his point guard out there doing things with him.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what kind of mindset he's got.
We talk about the difference in generations, right? Like, they say this generation is the me generation, so I don't know if I'm buying the team thing as much, especially for guys who have been teammates for 6 months. Like I said, Tennessee, Grant Williams, Admiral, those guys who have grown and gone through battles together, they might feel that way. They might feel like, hey, this we owe it to the team. But also, those guys aren't first-round picks.
Yeah, I think when you get to the guys that are like, part of this one and done era, like nobody thinks like I'm gonna go win an NCAA championship. They're thinking I'm gonna go get paid.
I mean, they might be thinking win an NCAA championship, but that might be why they went to Duke instead of Kentucky, because you know Coach K has one more championships, and you know them all going together helps them win championships or helps give them a better chance than championships. By the way, apparently Grant Williams, I shouldn't say that they're not first round picks. They might be. Hell, the Ringer had Grant Williams at number 9 overall on their draft board, which seems crazy to me. But they're not big-time lottery, make-a-whole-bunch-of-money first-round picks.
I don't think you can get all the way to this point without at least being somewhat of a team guy. Because when you get to the NBA, even in the NBA, you can't just be all about me. I mean, I guess you can if you're at some place. I guess you can do like Anthony Davis if you're the only guy there.
I mean,
it could be all about you.
I genuinely don't know because – I know AAU culture, people harp on the AAU culture talking about how it's creating bad habits and creating, people just wanting to make mixtapes and people wanting to highlight themselves rather than team basketball. So like I said, I don't know how big of a commitment Zion feels to Coach K or Cam Reddish or RJ Barrett. I would think if I'm Cam Reddish or RJ Barrett, I would understand if big fella came to me and said, hey, my knee doesn't feel right, I'm not coming back till I feel good. They have similar aspirations. You have to take that into account, too. Like, these other three freshmen they have are guys who want to go to the NBA, too. They probably look around and say, well, maybe we understand, although you did have the incident with Trey Jones earlier this year, right, where he hurt his shoulder, and some people thought he would be done. And then all of a sudden he was back, like, 2 weeks later. So maybe you look around that locker room and they are wanting to win a championship. I don't know. I just think it's really dumb when people like Danny Cannell tweet out that this injury, even if it was serious, wouldn't matter to Zion. Every position in the draft matters. And I know the stories come out that Duke paid the insurance policy for Zion. They paid $50,000 for Zion to have an insurance policy that will pay him $8 million if he loses a bunch of money. And what they consider losing a bunch of money, I believe, is falling 16th or further in the draft. Is that right? 16th or further? And I think of somebody like Nerlens Noel, who was the number one pick, blew his knee out against Florida, went from number one pick to number six pick, lost a bunch of money, hasn't been a factor in the NBA. He didn't get no interest money because he still went sixth overall, but he lost probably $100 million over the first six, 7 years of his career. Like, to say that you lose no money if he's hurt or slips in the draft is just wrong. The difference between the first pick and the second pick. How much money do you think that is over the first four seasons of their career?
Between the first pick and the second pick?
Yeah. Just the first and second pick.
A few million?
3.8. 3.87. It's what? Yeah. It's 3.87 over the first 4 years of their contract.
Million.
So don't say, like, Danny Cannell's like, oh, he won't lose a penny if he falls from first to third. You know what he loses if he falls to third?
More than 3.87 million.
7.22 million. Now we're talking
that's
cheese.
Significant.
Now we're talking bread. It goes to 10 million for the fourth pick. 12 million. 12.8 million for the fifth pick. Basically 15 million for the sixth pick. 16.7 million for the seventh. 18.4 for the eighth. 20.3 for the ninth. $21.2 million just the difference between first and tenth.
And that's worth what? I mean, $20 million,
that's worth $20 million.
That's a pretty big house in a nice city.
That's change your family money, right? I mean, $20 million, that's you're taking care of yourself, but you're also setting up the next generation. I tell you, you can get $15.6 million. You're like, all right, cool. I'm going to up my lifestyle. I'm going to buy a new house, some new cars. I'm going to try to invest. But, you know, once you start adding it up and the agent fees, you're like, oh, man, can I really give my mom couple million dollars? I don't know. I have to hold on to this one. If I tell you you can get 36.8, you're like, okay, I feel a lot better about that.
That's like 40 to 50 Lamborghinis.
That seems like a bad way to spend your money, but sure.
I mean, if you're the first overall pick, though, you could buy 50 Lamborghinis just to show the number 10 pick that you're better than him.
Oh, yeah, you could stun on the number 10 pick for sure.
If you wanted to.
Yeah.
Especially if it was a teammate.
I always think about that. Like, the Philadelphia 76ers, you know, they have all these big picks. They have all these, you know, big salaries in their locker room with these, or not big salaries, but these big high draft picks. You know, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. Markelle Fultz was making almost $10 million compared to Ben Simmons at 6.4. Markelle Fultz wasn't even really playing. That's just kind of how the salaries were working out as these rookie deals keep going up. Being the number one pick, which Ben Simmons was, but he was just the number one pick at the wrong time, that creates a nice little separation. And that was before Joel Embiid got paid, so he was the number three pick. He was making less money than Markelle Fultz last year. Draft position matters, and to say you don't lose any money is stupid. Now, Zion's got enough on film. He came into the season as not really the number one pick. More people are in on R.J. Barrett at the beginning of the year. Then Zion played his way into being the number one pick. As long as his knee's not shredded, I think his standing is good. Is it worth it? Because, I mean, the chances of you blowing your knee out aren't high, right?
Right.
They're not high.
I mean, I think it would be really cool to win a college basketball championship. And I wonder if he feels some pressure, you know, knowing, because he's got to know he's the difference, whether or not they win a title. I don't know what kind of bond you build with guys in 6 months. I don't know if he cares about it at all. If I was him, I would sit out and wait for the NBA. But
feel pressure, you know, with his teammates?
Yeah.
Or with the fan base, or with Coach K, or everybody?
It just in general, yeah, all.
I'd be like, sorry, Coach K. Got to do what's best for me. Teammates would be the tough one. But like I said, he might benefit from these guys kind of being in a similar situation of, yeah, we're all trying to get to the league. We're all trying to get paid. And he's racing the clock because, like I said, we're you know, a month away. We're 4 weeks away, 28 days basically, 26 days. When's the tournament start? On like the 20th, right? I want to say the opening round of the tournament is the 21st.
Yeah, it's not long
away. So
we're
28 days away from it. People are having the same conversation about the NCAA, which then leads to, well, the NCAA didn't make Zion come to school. That was the NBA. The NBA is the one with the one-and-done rule, which is true. And I do wonder if this will make them kind of recalibrate their rules. Because, I mean, if I was the NBA, I'd be looking at this college basketball season and what Zion's doing. I'm like, man, it'd be nice to just have this in the league already. Although it does kind of give them a year burning about the people caring about the draft and the lottery and all that stuff, which they appreciate. I do wonder if this maybe pumps up something with the one-and-done rule. I do wonder if this maybe knocks a domino down for the, you know, the G League's select contracts. What are they calling that? What was the path to the NBA contract the G League was given? Were they given $125,000, you know, for select players, select prospects? Was it just the path to the NBA or whatever? I don't know what type of...
I don't know what they called it.
Yeah, I don't know what they were calling it, but I do wonder if people look around and say, yeah, well, it'd be nice to at least have $125,000. Maybe it won't have any impact. I don't know. Maybe Zion will be back out there next week and Duke will go back to being the best team in the country.
I'm cool with him just sitting out the rest of the year.
Yeah, as a Tennessee fan, that would be... That would be the most beneficial for Tennessee.
You know, Reed Travis from Kentucky, he's hurt. So if we can go down and beat LSU Saturday, maybe we get a game up on Kentucky, win our SEC championship, beat Kentucky at home, don't have to deal with Zion in the tournament. It's all kind of setting up.
Yeah, from a real morbid perspective, like last night was really good for Tennessee fans. You know, LSU loses and maybe Zion out for the year.
Sometimes it's got to be a little morbid, you know?
It's got to keep it real every now and then.
Yeah.
DC says that Zion moved up thanks to playing college basketball. ESPN's nonstop hype has increased his earning power. Maybe. I mean, he did have 1 million Instagram followers before he got to college, but he's become more popular since playing in college. Now, I don't know if the earning potential is equal to the revenue they've brought in. You know, last night, Duke UNC had Super Bowl tickets. They were the price of Super Bowl tickets. Like, which, by the way, if you paid like $3,000 or $10,000 to go to that game, to watch Zion play and he went out in 30 seconds, man, you probably felt sick.
Probably felt dumb.
Wonder how much Obama – did Obama have to buy his tickets, you think?
No. No way.
You think, I mean, did you think Duke just gave them to him?
I think if you're Obama and you call up, he probably just called up Coach K. And he's like, hey, I want to come to the game.
You think so?
Coach K's like, all right, we'll have a seat for you.
Maybe. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
I was curious about that when I saw
Maria Taylor said that he was fans of both teams, or he was a fan of both teams. Can you do that? I mean, you're former president, so you kind of do what you want.
Maybe he's just trying not to alienate anybody. I don't know.
I remember he always used to pick North Carolina in his brackets. Pick North Carolina at least twice.
Maybe he's really picking North Carolina, but he's not trying to be disrespectful to Duke, who rolled out the red carpet for him, according
That's
to you.
That's probably what it is.
Like, you know, if they gave him a ticket, he can't be there in Duke saying, oh, yeah, I love Carolina.
That's probably what it is. I think he's a UNC guy, but he's probably cool with Coach K. And Coach K's like, yeah, come to the game. I'll get you a ticket. There's no way he paid for any of his tickets. But you know he had to have had Secret Service around him, right?
Hey, yeah, I mean, Obese, Barack, like, I can get you one seat, but your secret security, your Secret Service, I don't.
Is that what Coach K calls it?
Yeah, yeah. Hey.
You think they're close like that?
Yeah, they're tight. They're tight. I can get you a seat, but your two boys, the Secret Service, like, you're going to have to pony up for them. Like, your seat's free. Your seat's free. I got you, but your two boys, like, you're going to have to pay for them. I can only do so much.
I mean, where he was sitting.
That would have been around the $10,000 range, probably, for the resale market, at least.
That'd be a pretty expensive seat. He probably did have to put up some cash.
Do you think Zion Williamson has hurt college or helped college basketball more than college basketball has helped him, or do you think it's an equal trade?
I think it's. I think he's probably helped college basketball more. Based on the coverage they've had of him, he's a polarizing figure.
Yeah, like I don't think college basketball is using Zion to try to prop Zion up. I think they're using Zion because people care.
Well, I remember I saw something a day or two ago that was talking about how the things that really move the needle are LeBron and Zion, like in terms of coverage. I can't remember where I saw that.
I said that yesterday with the ticket scalper. The ticket scalper said that.
Was that what it was? Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But I think otherwise I probably wouldn't have watched any Duke games this year. I think he has drawn eyes to the TV to see him play.
But like I've mentioned before, you know, ESPN covers all this because, you know, we're going to invest this year covering Duke and Zion and Cam Reddish and RJ Barrett nonstop because we do anticipate that we can then turn around and cover them next year in the NBA. So there is some of that for sure. I do wonder what kids grow up dreaming about. You know, they dreaming of like, hey, we're going to go win a college basketball championship. Like, what was 14-year-old Zion thinking as he was making those dump, you know, those mix tapes of his dunks?
Maybe he dreamed of mauling zebras and Halle Berry in her Catwoman suit.
Maybe.
It's hard to say.
I don't know what he was doing when he was snoozing. I just know that, I don't know, do you feel, maybe, you know, like if you grew up in Knoxville and you're playing sports, maybe you had more of a bond to your college team and so you thought that way, but just when I was in the backyard, 7, 8 years old, I was thinking of like professional sports for the most part.
How did it turn out?
I didn't go pro, hurt my knee, politics, all that.
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
You definitely had the physical attributes for it.
Yeah, I mean, if I was really got a chance, who knows? If I could have hired a trainer or something.
What position would you have been?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
It was hard to fit in.
I was always a post player.
You were so athletic.
I was like 5'10", you know, right. 5'11". Yeah. Like, can't really be a post player at 5'11".
It's hard to specialize the best athlete on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. They were like, hey, you got to pick a sport. And I'm like, but I'm so good at all these sports, I want to play all of them. And they're like, well, you got to pick one. And that just really ruined my love for the game. That's really what it was.
There's a photo circulating of Jim Boeheim with Tony Stewart holding up each other's jerseys.
Oh, man, like, that's just – it's really morbid.
Yeah.
That says something about society that we went straight to Jim Boeheim jokes. Like, we don't care about the victim. We don't care about the guy who died. Let's just get these jokes off on Jim Boeheim.
Jokes, man. Jokes are what makes the world go round. You got to be able to make light of every situation.
There's a difference between making light and making fun.
You got to be able to make fun of every situation. If you can't laugh, you got nothing.
You can laugh. There's plenty of other things that you can laugh about.
You can laugh about anything. Sometimes that's what helps with grief. That's how we get through things like this. That's how we process them.
What do you mean how we get through things like this? Like, we're not grieving for Jim Boeheim's victim. Like, we're not attached to the victim. We don't need to grieve. We don't need to laugh to get through this.
I did. I mean, in general.
I don't think that guy's family's laughing. Like, hey, I really want to see these memes. Oh, you see this? The guy who killed our kid is, look, it's him holding up Tony Stewart's jersey. You get it? Because Tony Stewart killed a guy.
They're not laughing at this particular situation, but laughter will help them get through this tough time.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. There's other avenues we can make jokes in.
But the laughter.
Somebody tell him a good knock-knock joke.
The laughter of thousands.
I don't think that's how it works.
I think it's important.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We had this story coming out on the internet. I don't know where on the internet it was actually from, or I don't know where this person actually is from, but this. I mean, but you brought it up, but
what is it?
This woman. Talk about it, but it was something I was reading last night. I was really fascinated by it. Well, she put out a social media post. Nah, just forget it. Never mind.
What are you talking about?
No, I
want to
know.
No, never
mind.
I'm
intrigued now.
We'll talk about it off the air.
Come on.
Talk about it off the air.
Please?
No, we'll talk
about
it.
I was talking about something ESPN broadcasted in the locker room.
I know what you were talking about, but it made me think about something else, and I was reading about it. I spent a lot of time reading about it last night. Just forget it.
We could put it in the hat, and then it's up to the gods.
That's not a bad idea.
But also, you could probably just tell us now.
It's too early in the day.
You can barely even see this.
Male appendage.
Well, no, yeah. Actually, you can see it pretty. Yeah.
Are you zooming in on it or something over there? Where is it at?
It's just
I don't want to see.
Twitter.
I don't want to see.
Just Twitter search ESPN locker room, and you'll see the appendage.
Well, can you tell me, like, where it's at? Is it a hockey locker room?
It's below the waist.
Is it a college basketball locker room?
It's a college basketball locker room.
Makes it feel a little worse.
They're interviewing Luke May. It's the North Carolina locker room, and some guy's changing into his pants, and ESPN has cameras in the locker room, which is always a bad strategy. Like, why do we interview players on camera in the locker room? Unless you're like, you know, the ones where they're in their locker and they're like right up on them.
We don't really need that either. I feel like this should be a lesson to get rid of the locker room interviews and the locker room live shots.
Hey, you can see this guy's, he's dangling. I mean, you can, he's right behind Luke May. Just standing right by him. Here, have a look.
I don't want to see.
Have a look.
I'm good.
You want to see.
I don't want to. I'm good.
We've all seen one. It's weird, though, that they didn't. I mean, they just broadcasted it like, oh, yep, there it is.
I still don't see it.
You can see it dangle once he pulls the shirt up.
I don't want to break this down like the Zapruder.
Anyway.
I mean, the whole idea of getting in a locker room to interview someone is weird.
Yeah.
I mean, you're supposed to be changing. Does it feel worse because it's a college player than a pro player? I always feel like there should be different rules. I feel like we should all just kind of treat our college athletes different than our professional athletes.
Because they're still amateurs?
Yeah. Like, if you're not going to get the benefits of being covered like a professional athlete, i.e. money, lots of money, I feel like you should have different rules.
So we should be able to show the NBA players in the locker room? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I don't know. When you put it that way, it makes me sound weird, but I just think they should keep – I really think they should keep cameras out of all locker rooms is what I really think.
I mean, it seems like that would be a good general practice, but I think that the camera interview in the locker room, like a guy right after the game, that adds a personal touch, like oh yeah, he's right here in his locker. But like the close ups, you know what I mean, where they got all the boom mics around them and they're just focused in on one guy in his locker. That's okay, because that just gives you kind of the personal feel of.
I mean,
know,
I guess
the guy right after a game.
I guess that's the most likely time that you can get a heated response, right?
Yeah, I mean,
like when emotions are high like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with the locker room interview, but I don't think you should.
I know you're really cool with it. You've watched that video about 10 times now. So you're taking screenshots on your phone, trying to zoom in.
I was just trying to see what it was. I mean, I knew what it was, but I was just trying to make sure they actually broadcasted that on their channel, and they did. I think, though, like, it's probably not a good idea to have a wide pan, a wide shot of the locker room. If you got a camera in there, it should just be close-ups, right? Like one guy in his locker is how you should do the interview.
Do they do that in women's sports?
I don't know.
Like, are they hopping in locker rooms of women teams? I've never seen a live interview from a women's locker room.
I don't think they do it in women's.
Nah, I feel like the men should stand up and say they want equality.
Or the women should stand up and say they want equality.
I think the men should stand up and say, hey, if you're not going in the women's locker room, stay out of ours. Are we just not respecting women's sports? Like, do we not want their takes right after battle?
That's probably got something to do with it. Yeah.
Well, that's wrong. Well. Enough's enough. Either put the cameras in the women's locker room when they're changing, or stay out of the men's. No more penis shots on ESPN. No more.
Without also getting boobs.
Okay.
I'm finding videos of WNBA players doing locker room interviews as well.
Oh, damn, there goes that.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
We just don't actually see them on ESPN.
It's just, yeah.
They put that on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like 3 or ESPN News.
But is it only...
It's just
women
the one
reporters
locker.
That go in there? Do male reporters go into the women's locker room?
I'm seeing some
room?
Bald heads.
Well, those are probably men.
Most likely.
It's kind of weird that male reporters go into the women's locker room. I don't know.
Mean, do the women reporters go in the men's locker room? I feel like they do.
They do.
Yeah.
That seems less weird, though.
I would imagine women feel way weirder going into the men's locker room than the men do going in the women's.
Maybe they give them time to, like...
They probably have more of a check, like, hey, let us know when you're all dressed.
They're probably like, yeah, once you're changed and you get everything done, then we'll come in. And maybe this just happened to be this ESPN interview just happened to be one guy was late, you know? And then, boom.
Honestly, as I'm clicking on some of these videos, I'm just seeing like one or two people in the locker room for the women's games.
They might be done. Are they done by the team?
It might be. Like it kind of seemed like it was because as I watched one of the videos, it was one person going around to like individual players, like asking them.
Yeah.
Kind of seems like it's done by the team.
Either it's done by the team or there's just not much demand for them. I'd be okay with letting these people get dressed.
There's only a few members running the beat for them.
Do they do that in college football?
Locker room interviews? They're usually like just outside, like at those doors.
Yeah, like I don't feel like has ESPN broken in on a locker room for football? Like, was anyone really dying for Luke May's thoughts on the game after last night? Was anyone dying like, hey, I can't wait an extra 10 minutes? And I don't know if I'm making this way too big of a deal, but, you know.
They always have.
There are kids watching ESPN.
They always have those clips of, like, the coaches talking to the players in the locker room before the game.
Yeah, but they're dressed, and it's, like,
yeah.
Before the game. It's not them, you know, going to get into their jerseys. They're usually sitting there.
And there's sometimes, like, the clip of the celebration post-game. So there's cameras in there. They're just not – I don't think they're getting the interviews.
I don't know. It's just a penis. You know, just a quick shot of a penis. I mean, we've all seen one.
I mean, we have, I guess, 10-year-old Rebecca who's watching ESPN homesick today. Maybe she hasn't.
That's a good point. Maybe she hasn't. But she will eventually, you know, like.
She now has her answer to the first one she saw. It was some guy sitting behind Luke May's thick eyebrows. I mean, really trying to look at his thick eyebrows and how thick they are, and he looks like he wears eyeliner. And next thing I knew, this guy was taking his shirt up, the towel fell down, and boom, there it was. My life changed forever.
Eventually, everyone in life does see one.
Sure.
Is the first time you see one, is that comfortable for anyone, really?
I don't know if this defense works, though. I don't know if this defense works.
What do you mean?
Like, go out to the playground and get caught using the bathroom, like, in the bushes, and get on the sex offender list, and then go to the court and be like, well, you know what? I mean, everyone sees one eventually.
Well, no, of course you don't want to do that. I'm just saying.
I just don't know if this defense feels good.
I'm just saying with the ESPN angle, it's not like they meant to do it, you know?
I doubt the FCC finds them.
Right, I mean, the guy just happened to be there in the background, and maybe they should have caught it. Like, maybe you should have stricter precautions if you're in a locker room.
Here's the precautions. Don't go in the locker room. I don't need Luke May's thoughts after the game. I can wait 15 minutes for him to get to the podium.
I'm saying maybe it's
his eyebrows are going to be just as thick.
I think it's fine to go in the locker room, but keep it centered to the shot into one locker. You know,
hey Luke,
get away from everybody.
Luke, can you stand up and come over here in the corner of the room right quick so we can interview?
Right, right. Get away from everybody at least. You don't want to do a wide shot in the locker room. That's the problem.
You're on to something there. I think I just go with stay out of the locker room.
I do think there's a good personal feel of getting the guy right after the game and he's still sweating and you can see the towel on his head, you know, and he's – I mean, that I got no problem with the locker room interview. Just don't do a wide shot and you're less likely to catch a male appendage swinging around so that Sally watching at home doesn't have to see it.
Name one classic interview from the locker room.
That's not how this works.
I mean,
in general.
Do any of them stand out to you?
Does any interview ever stand out?
No, maybe we don't need any of them.
Ocho Cinco pointing out his list in the locker.
That's a different conversation.
Ocho Cinco pointing to the list in his locker is good. It wasn't after a game, I don't think. I think it was after practice. I think it was like leading into the game.
Oh, well. Y'all can't stop me.
Troy says locker room interviews are okay. Women doing locker room interviews is not.
Now we're
sexist.
Now we're sexist and discriminating.
Of course, misogynist at McClure.
If there is a female reporter, she feels like she can't do her job. Now we're in a different problem. Because she's gonna have to suck it up and go in there and say, "Hey, I gotta go in here. Gotta come in here. Gotta do it. Gotta do my job." It's just uncomfortable for everybody. Hour 1 in the books, hour 2 on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.